Joining us on another episode of the MetaMakers podcast. This is Davis.
And this is Dylan.
And we have our guest, Gerard. Could you please introduce yourself first and last?
Sure. My name is Gerard Dache. I'm the executive director of the Government Blockchain Association. And I have to say, I love listening to you guys when you talk in your podcast voice, which is very different than the let's sit around and have coffee voice.
I love it. You gotta be semi-professional at least. So the GBA, Government Blockchain Association, could you tell us a bit more about that and what you do?
Sure. We're a nonprofit organization of industry and public and private sector professionals around the world. And our goal is to help the private sector and the public sector connect, communicate, and collaborate on blockchain solutions to problems faced by government. So we've got folks at the state, local, national, international level. We've got big companies, little companies. But the thing that ties them all together is they believe blockchain can bring solutions to many of the problems that have been facing governments for years.
Wow. Amazing.
Could you share with us a couple of the problems that your team and your community are working on solving?
Well, you know, for those folks who know anything about blockchain, it's sometimes referred to as a trust protocol, right? So any place where there's a gap between government and trust, that's probably a place where there's a great intersection. So you probably can't think of very many of those, right? But, and the other thing that is important to think about is the world is changing with the adoption of cryptocurrency, right? So every day in different parts of the world, we're finding about more and more places where they're starting to accept and use cryptocurrency. It's becoming more normal, right? Well, government systems are not really prepared to deal with that, right? Because here in the United States, for example, the government uses banks to influence, monitor, and control the economy, right? But if people are doing peer-to-peer transactions outside of banks, the government loses its ability to do those things. And the government has legitimate mandated roles to do certain things, but if the tools that they use essentially stop working because people are bypassing them through peer-to-peer, the government's got to come up with other ways to deal with those issues. And so there's a lot of work that needs to happen. We need a lot of smart people to get together and figure it out.
And you are one of those smart people, Gerard. I just want to lay some groundwork real quick. Could you please talk about your experience working with the government and for the government? Briefly. I know it was a lot.
Right. Well, so I spent some time in the military. I spent about 13 years in the United States military in infantry, intelligence, and logistics. And then I worked in the government contracting community for several years. I became a guy who was indirectly paid by governments to visit government contractors and assess whether or not they had the capability to deliver large IT government contracts. And in that capacity, over a number of years, I probably visited, well over 100 companies on behalf of different government agencies to assess them. So I spent a lot of time in the government space, different government agencies, working with government contractors, kind of just building that bridge.
So you have a pretty good understanding of what you're talking about is what we're saying.
As well as how to communicate with people and the best ways to learn about what they do and how you guys can work together.
One of the things that I really appreciate about Meta Creative, right, from the time that I met you guys, is it's always about people, right? So if you're working in the government or private sector, you're always dealing with people. Those people have motivations, they have interests, right? There are things that they're worried about, right? There's opportunities, and it's really all about people. And one of the things I really appreciate about you guys from the first time I met you was your focus on the people and the connectivity, right? You guys are masters at that, and I just really appreciate being with you guys.
Well, we appreciate that as well, Gerard. Thank you. It means a lot. So, what got you interested in blockchain in particular? When were you introduced to it, and when did you really get interested in it?
So, I'm a father of, we raised five kids, and my son.
You and your wonderful partner. You can give her a little plug as well.
Yes. Yeah. My wife, Kathy. Anyway.
Who works with you on Government Blockchain Association
yeah,
as
she's,
well.
She's also an artist, so I'll give her a shameless plug, Kathy-A.com, right?
Nice.
You get to see all of her amazing artwork. But my son bought a couple dollars worth of Bitcoin, and then when he sold them, he bought a car, a motorcycle, his college tuition, and his living expenses, right? So, you know, as his father, I was like, I love him and I hate him. I love him and I hate him. Right? I was like, so it kind of got me involved in that space. And so I was doing this other career, but I've been doing that for a long time. So I was looking to branch into something different. So I started attending meetups. I went to some meetups in D.C., right? Started meeting some people. Eventually, we had our own meetup. We had two people show up at our first meetup. And today, we have over 15,000 people in 90 cities around the world.
And I mean, you hear how it started. It started from a meetup. I think a lot of people who are interested in topics today find that interest by meeting other people who are also interested in them. And yeah. I think that's an incredible way to start interest in anything, is showing up in person so that you can, you know, have an epiphany together with someone, and someone can lead you through the important things to learn, the important things to learn first, and, you know, why it's important to learn about these things.
Yeah, well, listen, to your point, one of the first meetups that I went to, in fact, the first meetup I went to, I was really impressed with this blockchain technology. And so I went up to the speaker, the organizer of another association similar to ours, and I said, look, I'm really interested and excited about this whole blockchain thing. I'd like to, and I volunteered, to build a government blockchain community in that organization, right, for free, right, just to learn about it, right? And they said, send me your resume, and I did. And I never heard back from them. So I went ahead and we had our first meetup, and everything grew from there. But to your point about connectivity, if that person had followed up with me, then the entire GBA organization would actually be subordinate to that organization, would be part of that organization today. Wow. And the mere act of not connecting had significant impact.
It inspired you to want to find that connection somehow.
No, it's not that it necessarily inspired. I was going to do it anyway, but what I'm saying is, you know, in terms of what you guys do with your, you know, with your app and your whole focus on helping people connect, connection is so important. Mm-hmm. And when we don't follow through, right? It's the mere act of just returning a phone call or an email can be so important. Yeah. Right. And, you know, many years ago, I worked on Capitol Hill. And one of the things that I remember from that is, you know, you got to treat everybody with respect, right? Whether they're the lobbyist or the janitor, right? Everybody's got a role. And if you can treat everybody with that level of respect, right? I'm just telling you, it works out really well. Because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the first time we actually connected was on a cold call. I remember finding your name and number somewhere on the internet and calling.
It was written on a bathroom wall.
Yeah, written on a bathroom wall. And you know, I think, you know, we were in a meeting, and, you know, I just started explaining about what we did, and you offered to meet up in person, which I think was the start of something beautiful. Because from then on, you, Davis, and I have had a beautiful relationship in spawning different events, and Davis and I even traveled out to Colorado to...
You guys are crazy. You know that, right?
in one of your events out there. So, yeah. I mean, we, you know, each kind of recognized our resilience and our interest in growing this community around solutions using blockchain technology. So thank you again for answering that cold call, because it's led to some beautiful things, and we're excited to continue to collaborate with you.
So wait, for your listeners, I have to tell them. So we met, again, I don't remember the details of our meeting, right? But you did come to one of our local DC chapter meetings events. And I think we told you that, the next night or within a day or two or three, we're going to be out in Denver, right? And you guys had no money at the time, right? And so I don't know what you did. You begged, barred, or stealed. You got in the car and you drove from D.C. to Denver to be at that event. And when I saw you guys walked in, I'm just telling you something. You looked like you'd been on a couple of miles of bad road. But I was so impressed.
We're wearing suits. We looked great. We had literally driven for 24 hours nonstop from DC, and our original ride fell through. So sorry, Mom, but I took my mom's van, and I just felt called. I thought it was a good opportunity to connect with you and just to show up to the first Crypto Nights. Yeah. And we had been talking about doing this event series called the Crypto Night. Which is a great segue to talk about the Crypto Nights. So, Gerard, what is Crypto Nights? What will Crypto Night be? What's the goal?
Well, so we do a whole bunch of different series, but one of them is Crypto Night. We've done one of these so far. We want to launch more. But Crypto Night is where we basically focus on cryptocurrency adoption. In fact, in the month of July, we're going to be focusing on cryptocurrency adoption. So globally, but we just want to bring people in government and the private sector together to understand, you know, what it is, how it works, and how they can benefit. We typically do it in a casual kind of bar type environment, open mic. We encourage people to share their stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, and then for people to make connections so that they can kind of progress this thing.
See, I think that's amazing because when I was introduced to blockchain, or I should say cryptocurrency, and by the way, blockchain technology is not just about financial solutions. It could be used for tracking inventory for businesses. It can be used for a whole assortment of different things. So most people think, oh, it's just Bitcoin and money and stuff like that. But when I was introduced to it, I noticed a lot of the community around crypto is like, oh, like we don't need the government, blah, blah, blah. We can make our own systems and stuff. And you're coming from a very unique standpoint of having worked with the government and saying, no, you know, we don't need to overthrow the government to make this work. We can actually collaborate together and find sustainable solutions that we can adopt this technology that's coming. Because there's no way you can't stop this technology at this point. So it's more important to find a solution to make it all work together. So I really appreciate you doing that. I mean, I don't know any other organization doing that. I think you're very unique.
You know, it's funny. When we first started doing some of our events, the people that showed up were weird, right?
I bet. Yeah. We have experience with that.
Right. Well, I'll never forget, the first couple of events, we'd get 2, 3, 4 people, and most of them looked like they'd been behind a computer screen way too long.
Exactly.
Yeah. They'd been, in the dark, no vitamin D, right? And one guy handed me his, and for one of the early meetings, we had 4 or 5 of those people, plus the CTO of a big company showed up, right? And, you know, he was definitely a fish out of water. And one of the guys that night handed me his business card. He said, "Hi, my name is such and such. I'm with Anonymous." And I'm looking at his business card, and it has the Anonymous logo, and it's got his name, his address, his email address, his phone number. And I looked at him, and I said, "I don't think you know how this works." But,
that's actually hilarious.
But you're exactly right there. Listen, there are a lot of very powerful and influential players in this space, right? I mean, you know, don't underestimate the banks, these financial institutions, these government organizations, right? They have a place to play. And if 2 kids in a garage think that they're going to overthrow the entire status quo, right, they will be crushed, right?
Right.
At the same time, millions of these 2 kids in the garage are a very formidable force as well, right? And if we don't want to see this clash of titans, right, devolve into something that essentially will be terrible for everybody, we've got to figure out how we can bring these folks together and figure out, well, look, what is important for us, right? We all want a safe, sustainable environment. We don't want governments that essentially, you know, are imposing. We don't want people to hurt each other. Right. So how do we bring these pieces together? And we need a lot of smart, good people. And I want to say something else. It just reminded me about your story about coming out to Colorado. The folks in the blockchain space, right, over the last year, year and a half, 2 years, I've been so impressed with the leadership, with the character, right, with the, you know, these are innovative, out of the box thinkers taking risks. Right. They are incredible people. And we're just unbelievably blessed and fortunate to be in the company with people like this.
Wow. I agree completely. That's one thing that I noticed when we started coming to blockchain events was, like, not only are these people really freaking smart, is that most of these people are really freaking kind. That's what I've noticed. I mean, you get the occasional hacker that just wants to like take over Mt. Gox and make a right. But then, honestly, most people are generally interested in the well-being because of the solutions that blockchain offers.
Right.
So, Gerard, you asked the question, and I'll ask you: what are the solutions? How can we work with government and people and business to make it work together so that we're not fighting each other?
Wow. Well, I didn't realize you were going to ask me the really tough ones. I thought it was going to be like, what's your favorite color?
Let me simplify. How can we work together with the government in this sector?
So I think there's a couple answers, right? The first thing we have to do is we have to get government folks educated, right? So last week I was on Capitol Hill, and what became painfully apparent to me is there are some people in the U.S. Congress that totally get it. There are other people that completely have their head in the sand, right? And so I think educating our lawmakers becomes really, really important in terms of what this is, the benefit and the risk, right? We were talking about a post on, I don't know, LinkedIn or something like that where somebody was advocating banning cryptocurrency, right? And the conversation we had is I said, look, this guy has some points, some legitimate points. There are some reasons for government to fear this, right? Let's put them on the table, right? Let's have a conversation about it. And let's figure out, so some of the things that they fear, there are solutions for. So, for example, one of the things that the government fears is a loss of visibility into financial transactions. Well, we have a GBA member in Canada called the Blockchain Intelligence Group. And what they do is they do data analytics of the blockchain to find markers for things like human trafficking drug trafficking and all kinds of illegal activity. And they can make that kind of information available to law enforcement or to financial institutions, right, so that they don't engage with dirty money. So here's the deal. There really are a lot of problems, and there are a lot of solutions. And now what we got to do is we got to get those lists put together, and we got to start connecting the dots. There's great people who are working on solutions in all these. Healthcare is an example, right? One of our member companies is called a Donor, DHONOR, right? They're putting organ and blood donations on a blockchain.
Wow.
I mean, gosh, you know, genomics, I mean, identity. There's so many areas where there are people coming up with solutions. And so to answer your question, we got to get these people in the same room. We got to connect the dots. That's what the Government Blockchain Association is all about.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of these government workers are turning a blind eye and continuing to turn a blind eye. It's like these solutions are not going away. We are all recognizing that innovation is happening now. And I really, you know, what your point of getting people in the same room is exactly why we do what we do. Sharing that knowledge together and seeing what we can do together. And I think that's why we really show up to your events, is we enjoy being in these different spaces to talk about things that, you know, we might not really know about, but, you know, we gain a lot of insight whenever we show up to one of your events and are able to kind of brainstorm with these government professionals what are some out of the box ways that we can implement this education to, you know, all of their government colleagues as well as our larger group of younger mind millennials who are also turning a blind eye and not necessarily doing the due diligence of learning themselves. You know, what is it? How can I get involved? How can I start to earn, accrue, and learn about these solutions and changes that are here now?
Yeah. Well, let me address some of that specifically, right? If folks want to attend events, learn about it, by all means, go to the Government Blockchain Association website, gbaglobal.org, right? And go to the events tab. We've got tons of events. There's training. Students, right? It's like $49 a year to be a part of GBA, right? But I would, if companies are interested in getting in the space, look, blockchain is going to impact virtually every government contract. I shouldn't say every, but many, many government contracts. There's a huge business opportunity. There will be trillions of dollars spent on blockchain solutions that governments are going to have to do. And companies that want to get in that space ought to actually go to the gbaglobal.org site and join and connect with other folks, because one of the things that we're doing is when opportunities come out for blockchain work, we're actually putting together teams of our members to respond to those proposals. Wow. In fact, there's one that we're about to put together a team for that's an environmental proposal. Right. So so basically, we got a bunch of folks in our organization that have different expertise. We pull them together so that collectively they're a tiger team to go after some of these government opportunities.
Yeah, I love that personally, because the collaboration of diverse skills, it's like you can't have a team full of quarterbacks. Right. You need a diverse team to make stuff happen. And personal testimony right here. By coming to the GBA events, we were able to connect with some other people in the space that we ended up doing events with.
Awesome.
And we ended up making tons of connections with, right? And like now me and Dylan have about probably 200 extra contacts because of you, really. I mean, because of what you're doing. And so getting them in the same room.
And your mom's van.
Yeah, my mom's van. Well, yeah, and I feel like a lot of the work is being done in silos, right? We live at a very unique time in history where we're all connected virtually, but many of us are disconnected personally. And so I don't know about the government, but a lot of the sectors and companies and organizations, like a lot of them are doing work just in their basement or in their garage together, just like kind of getting siloed and in like an echo chamber essentially. And the solution to that is by getting these people to come to these larger in-person events where they can make those connections. And I'm not talking about just like an average boring networking event. I'm talking about something engaging like what we're working on together, where it's actually fun.
Yeah.
to come, and it's not a drag, and you don't feel like you have to like give your business card to every single person. It's because we're just sharing ideas freely and looking for solutions. We're people that care, that are making things happen. Yeah. Basically,
you know, you love these events when people just don't want to go home, right?
Exactly.
And that's the kind of environments we're set up. Let me just share with you just one or two cool things that's going on in addition to the environment thing. Another project that we're working on with our Miami chapter is creating a consortium for supply chain, working with the airports, the trucking companies, the rail, and the port authority, right? Creating an open platform, right, where all the supply chain organizations can work together, right? And another thing that we're doing that we're about to launch is working with governments to help them accept cryptocurrency as tax payments. Right. with Wompay is actually.
Yeah.
Russell is the guy who called me up. He said, I got this great idea. So we're going to be working that through our budget accountability and transparency working group. And
right.
And it's going to be awesome.
And Wompay is unique because they have a platform for stores and vendors to start accepting cryptocurrency. And I think that is a really, really important piece in adoption, is that when vendors and people who sell anything realize the benefit of actually receiving payment in cryptocurrency, then the market will also follow. People will start paying in it more. So,
right. So all this stuff is connected, right? So adoption, right, is going to continue to trigger the financial institution, which is going to expand the role of tokenization. Tokenization will then move into all these different use cases. So we're going to do tokenization in healthcare and supply chain. And as we tokenize different assets in these different use cases across different technology stacks, that's then going to bring in the whole legal regulatory piece, right? So all of this stuff gets sucked into blockchain, but it starts with adoption. And just the other day, AT&T announced that you can now pay your phone bill with Bitcoin.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I was going to bring up AT&T because I was on Coinbase and I saw that news article. And the United States is built on business,
yep.
Really. So I think business has such a large role. And so when you see big businesses adopting cryptocurrency, it's like, all right, you know the government is pretty going to follow suit or in some way or respond in some way to that.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing that you have to be mindful of. Every time the price of Bitcoin goes up, right, the number of wallet downloads increases. It explodes, right? And so right now, about 40% of all college students own cryptocurrency. Mm. Now, most of them are holding it, right? And the reason they're holding it is two reasons. One, they're hodlers, right? They figure the price is going to go up. Secondly, they don't have a whole lot of money, right? So, but when And every time it goes up, it spikes a larger and larger amount. It always follows the same curve. It's flat for a long time. It goes up a little bit, and then it shoots up, and then it crashes. It's unstable. It goes on a slow decline until it stabilizes for a while, and then it starts to go up a little bit, and it shoots up again. And every spike is larger than the last. Every time the spike happens, the number of wallet downloads increase, right? And the barriers to use is things like ease of use. Well, as AT&T does what it's doing, as WAMPay creates more for vendors, as Coinbase creates more point of sales, right? Those problems are getting alleviated. And the other one is the law. Well, government's talking right now about protecting the first $500 of transactions from capital gains, which is going to make it easier for vendors to start accepting crypto, right? So you got all these college students. 40% have cryptocurrency wallets. They're aware of it, right? This is like a ticking time bomb, right? And when this thing goes off, and when it goes off, it's going to go off relatively soon. Already around the world, you've got. I was in a restaurant in Cameroon where they only accept cryptocurrency. They don't accept fiat, right? I mean, I was talking to some folks in Croatia this morning. You know, this adoption thing is coming. And I'm just saying, governments and industries, they're moving in that direction, but they have no idea how fast this thing's going to hit. And we need good people to start figuring that stuff out.
Wow. So some of those solutions had to do with in-person meetings, which we can now ask you, what are some events coming up, Gerard? How can people come and meet you and connect with the GBA and meet some of these good people that care, that are working on solutions?
So my favorite series that we have coming up is called The Future of Money Governs the Law, or we'd like to call it FOMOGLE. So again, go to gbaglobal.org, hit the events tab. They can find, if they want to talk to me directly, I talk to everybody, right? As you've already alluded to. So they can go to the GBA Global site, go to the About Us, right? They'll see my name and all my contact information. And yeah, listen, if anybody's interested in the space and they want to do something, fill out the support. At the bottom of every webpage is a Contact Us. Fill that out. We'll get it to a working group lead. We have over 50 different working groups, right? We got chapters all around the world. But just fill out the contact form at the bottom of any page, and we'll get you connected to somebody that can help move your passion forward.
Community is the most important piece of all of this. Please, you guys, feel free to reach out. Gerard, we'll talk to anybody and get this conversation moving forward.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to bring, we've got some dates brewing. I know that there's the Future of Money Governance and the Law in September.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we also have some training. So folks in the D.C. area, if you go to the events page and then go down to training, we've got some specialist courses for folks in the healthcare, legal, and financial services industry. So if you're interested in any of those topics, we've got a 3-day course that's just killer.
That's great. Yeah, we'll post the links as well. Yeah, we don't want to give too much away. You can go to the website and learn more about it. But do know that we're working together with Gerard and the GBA on some really, really exciting events coming up. And just stay tuned, because it's something unique. It's something different. I don't think that no one in the world has seen what we're going to do.
Wow.
No, it's true. I mean, literally, I've researched and tried to find other organizations that do what we do. And there aren't many, if any. None that I've found, so I'm personally excited.
Cool.
and thanks for being so transparent, Gerard. I mean, it's the paradox about blockchain. It is transparent, right? But then it's also encrypted. So it's like, and for people that don't really know about blockchain and they might be confused, like, what were these guys talking about the whole time? Could you just give like a really, really basic description to like my mom that might be listening? And just like super simplify what blockchain is and how cryptocurrency has a role in it?
Sure. So,
or vice versa.
The first thing I have to say is whatever I say is going to be inadequate, right? So this is going to be, it's kind of like describing what the internet is, right?
True.
But what the internet does, I'm going to compare it to the internet for a second. What the internet does is it allows a peer-to-peer movement of information, right? And so, when somebody invented the internet, they said, well, gosh, we could possibly use this for emails, right? And so email is a use case of the internet. It's a particular type of use of the internet. And then Gmail is a particular type of email, right? So there's a lot of different emails, you know, Gmail's one. So if we think about it, blockchain is at the internet level. It allows a peer-to-peer movement of value, right? Cryptocurrency is like email. It's a type of use case, right? But there's many, many other use cases, right? Just like you can use the internet for many things. And then Bitcoin is a particular type of cryptocurrency. There's over 2,000 different cryptocurrencies, just like there are many types of email. So when we go down to the blockchain level, when people said, hey, I've got an idea, we can do peer-to-peer movement of information without a third party, they had no idea of the impact it would have. That one day, we would have Uber, right? We would have Airbnbs, right? We would have social media, right? The whole way the internet has impacted how we do business, right? Nobody could have imagined that when they said, I think I can send you an email, right? Well, blockchain is the same way. Blockchain is, I can move peer-to-peer in value without a third party. And from where we sit today, we have no idea the impact that that will have, right? Just like they had no idea at the early days of the internet. And so in terms of what it is, it's basically a ledger where you got copies on many, many different computers at the same time. And whenever there's a movement from column A to column B, that gets replicated everywhere. So it's virtually impossible to alter it, right? But you don't know who's in column A, who's in column B. You just know that 10 units went from column A to column B.
Unless you're that person.
Unless you're that person.
With your own ID, and then you can go to that public ledger with all the encrypted keys and say, this is my encrypted key. I can see where my transaction
right.
was.
So what it is, it provides full transparency, right? And at the same time, full anonymity.
Wow. Paradoxes. I love paradoxes.
Yeah. Now, the one last thing I'll say about it is that's sort of like blockchain 101. From there, a lot of people have come up with other ideas, and they've taken it in many different directions. So just like the internet has sort of branched out into many different ways, blockchain is branching out. But that's at a very basic level is blockchain.
So you talked a little bit about GBA and yeah. how you're connecting business, the government, and people together around adoption of blockchain technology, which is very important. What are some goals that you have coming up or in the near future or just in general for the organization and for the world, I guess?
So anybody who's a in government service can join GBA for free.
For free. If you work for the government, join GBA
yes.
for free.
So our goal is to have literally every government worker in the world that's interested in blockchain to be a member of GBA.
Wow.
And then from that, for them to have connectivity with some of the best and the brightest minds in blockchain in the private industry, many of them are small business. That's a lot of the innovation is coming from small business. So we just want to be connective tissue between some of the best and brightest minds in blockchain to folks who need that information in government.
Wow. It's really similar to what we're doing. So when you mean government, like anyone in any government in the world?
Anyone in any government.
How many, is that like, if you had to guess a percentage of the population of the world, how many people work for governments?
Specifically, like quantifiably, a gob.
Just a lot.
Millions and millions and millions of people.
Yeah. Well, Gerard, thank you so much for sharing this conversation with us. I personally learned a lot more about what you do and some goals about GBA. We'll drop some links for the listeners to connect with you and personally and also the website and GBA as a community. And yeah, definitely check out the events you've got going on. And then check our page as well, metacreative.world. You can see some events that we've got planned and some events that are also brewing right now that are not listed yet, but will be soon. That's metacreative.world, M-E-T-T-A, creative.world. Gerard, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
As Great. Always, this has been an episode of the Metamakers Podcast, Collaborative Arts, Inspiring Sustainability. Thanks for listening.